Got a really good t-shirt wisdom that a person can draw from. I picked a couple of select shirts that I think really have something that we can really mull over and kind of chew on. I like that one. Wisdom doesn't always come with age. Sometimes age comes alone. Yeah. I am in shape. Round is a shape. And you're unique, just like everyone else. You know, that one has a particular amount of irony in it, but it's true, right? We can't deny the truth of that shirt. The one thing that we hold in common with everyone else is the simple fact that each and every one of us is unique. And there's no one else in the world just like you. My mom used to say, well, I figured somebody was saying, thank goodness about Aaron. Yeah, that's what I thought you were saying, Cheryl.
No, that's what my husband says about me.
Okay. Well, my mom used to say to me, you are my favorite second son. And I took personally encouragement that she carefully worded it that way, and she didn't say, you are my second favorite son. And then the same thing on that slogan could be said about every church, right? That every church is also unique. You know, the churches that are in Nashville, Tennessee is different from the church in Tampa, Florida, which is different from the church in Scottsdale, Arizona, which is different from the church here in Riverton. The church in Guatemala City is different from the church in Kansas City. And the church in New York City is different from the one in Mexico City. You know, every church is unique, and our church is no different. You know, there's no church like our church anywhere in the world. And there's no church like Grace Community. And I truly believe this. I think that we are a unicorn of sorts because we do have several things that set us apart from other churches that differentiate us. Some of them don't really matter a lot. Like, it's just programming things. But some of them are kind of cool. Our Snack and Chat. Yeah, I'm willing to bet you don't know anybody else's church that does Snack and Chat in the middle, has an intermission. We do communion by intention. I've not been to any other churches that invite people to take communion as the Lord leads them. And you know, we're a very generous church. We have three different worship teams with three different worship styles. And one of the most unique things is we have a huge percentage of people who serve in this church. We're not the church where 20% of the people do 80% of the work. We have a huge percentage who chip in and see this as their work, their church, their labor. Now, to be fair, other churches have things that we don't have, and they do things that we don't do. They have groups that we don't have, and they provide services that we don't provide. I know of a church in Joplin that provides free automotive services for single moms and under-resourced people called Higher Power Garage. And all it costs is parts. And a lot of times they even have people that will help provide parts if people are in a really bad pinch. There's another church in Joplin that provides a neighborhood garden for people in the neighborhood to come and get produce. There's another one that provides transportation for elderly and people without vehicles. Churches are unique. They grow the way that they need to according to where they are and what is needed in that area. And all of this is by design. It's a very natural occurrence. It's all God's plan for the church. Just as God chose every single person as a unique individual, God has brought together every single church in a very unique way. You know, we are a unique church made up of a unique gathering of people. We have farmers and we have suits. We have lawyers and teachers. We have big equipment operators and salespeople. You know, we have people that are living paycheck to paycheck and people whose names are on paychecks. We have great singers and great listeners, right? We've got hard workers, hard dreamers. And because of this variety in our makeup, how we grow in Christ and how we fulfill God's mission is going to be somewhat unique. You know, no other church is going to minister to this community the same way that we do at Grace Community. No church has the same ability to reach the specific people that we are supposed to reach out to. No church can live out God's mission the same way that we can live it out. And so we have a responsibility to play our part, to fill our unique role in what God is doing in our neighborhood and in our city and even around the world when it comes to missions. So I want to remind you at this point that as part of this uniqueness, we believe that God has something unique for us as far as mission goes. You know, something at this point we still have no vision for. We cannot see it yet. It's still a mystery for us. And what I'm talking about is our wildly important goal, our BHAG, the big, hairy, audacious goal. We believe that there are accomplishments that we can do by our own strength, right? By our own means. If we plan and we're creative and we have some vision and if we knuckle down, we can knock some stuff out. We can accomplish some things for God. We can get some things done. But we want more than that, don't we? We talked about the Holy Spirit last week and how if we don't have the presence of the Spirit in our lives, we can only accomplish things people can do. And I want kingdom vision for us. I don't want to do what we can do. I want to participate in what only God can do. Big, hairy, audacious goal. So if you aren't praying for this already, I need you to start. Or start again. You know, we took a short hiatus talking about the big, hairy, audacious goal while we were doing the Grace Reads campaign because we as elders felt like, you know, whatever this thing is that God is leading us toward, that we needed to be solid in the Word of God to do it. That Bible fluency was a necessary prerequisite to do whatever he has in mind for us to do. And I hope and pray that you are still digging into the Word, even though that campaign's long over. You know, there's no reason, like, just keep in it. But we aren't ready yet. You know how I know? Because we don't know what our mission is yet. If we were ready, God would have given it to us. So for now, we are diligently listening and praying and being faithful with little, believing that he will later entrust us with much. And so pray often for the BHAG, this wildly important goal. Now back to churches being unique. Even though every church is unique, the primary mission of the church is the same for every church around the world. We find this mission in Matthew at the end of chapter 28. In this brief time after the resurrection, but before Jesus ascends into heaven, he addresses his followers and he shares with them what we commonly refer to as the Great Commission. This was Jesus passing God's mission, his primary mission, to the church. It is the mission that Jesus himself gave to us. Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20 says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That is the foundational mission for every Bible-believing, God-honoring, Christ-centered church. Build the kingdom of God. Now, can you think of any reason why we might be exempt from that mission? I can't. It's interesting because if you look at Jesus' preaching and the messages that he gave to people, the ones that are recorded for us at least, Jesus stressed the kingdom rather than the church by a ratio of 40 to 1. And so our question needs to be, how can we bring God's kingdom into this world through this congregation? As one of God's churches, we have a responsibility to live out God's mission, to be faithful, to fulfill what God is asking us to do in this time, in this place. And we don't want to just do church, do we? You know, show up week in, week out, sing our songs, eat some snacks, say some prayers, listen to a sermon, and then just go on with life. We desire to honor God as His church. We don't want to just do church. We want to be the church. And to truly be God's church as effectively as possible here. In order to do that, we need to understand and embrace what it means for our church to live God's mission right here in our community. A couple years ago, when I first pitched the idea of the BHAG, I brought out this can opener. And it's funny because, man, times are changing so fast. There are people who have no idea what this is. I've seen so many videos and they have no idea how to use it. But I led with this question. This is the whole point of bringing it up. Is a can opener still a can opener if it can no longer open cans? If it can't open cans, is it still a can opener? You know, of course, we joke, no, now it's a can't opener. Right? It's a different thing. You know, it's a question of value and worth and function. But it's not about cans or can openers. The question is really this. If a church doesn't do or cannot do what the church is created to do, is it still a church? If we're not fulfilling the primary function of the church to grow the kingdom of God, to create and develop disciples, are we even a church? Or are we something else? And we call ourselves Grace Community Church. If we are not performing the primary function of the church, maybe we should just be Grace Community. Let's be a church. One of the things that I have always loved about this church is our desire to be a church that lives in step with the Spirit. We don't like to rush ahead of God. And we don't like to lag behind what God is doing, playing catch up, but we like to try to stay right in step with the Spirit of God. And that's part of the reason why, you know, we are waiting on this BHAG. We don't want to get ahead of God. We don't want to get the cart before the horse. We don't want to tell God, this is what we're doing, bless it. But we want to be tuned in with Him and walking step in step with Him. In Galatians 5, the Apostle Paul's writing to the church in Galatia, and he's encouraging them about the freedom that they have in Christ. You know, and he's telling them that they're to be living in the Spirit, and he shares with them about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And then he drops this little nugget of wisdom that gets overlooked all the time because we love talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:25, he says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. It's our desire as a church to stay right in step with how the Spirit of God is leading us as a people. Because if we do not take time to seek the Lord, to hear from the Lord, to understand what the Lord is doing here and now, then we will run the risk of falling behind, of heading off of course. And we don't want to be internally focused when God has called us to change the world. We don't want to be a church that has a maintenance mindset where we're just going through the motions and doing church. We don't want to just look like a church. We want to be the church, don't we? So we've got to do the hard work of seeking God, being in step with the Spirit so that we can confidently move forward in step with the Holy Spirit. Jesus gave the church a foundational mission. Go into the world. Don't just sit around and sing kumbaya and take care of one another's needs. Those are things that you're supposed to do. But I want you to go into the world and make more disciples. Grow the kingdom of God. Bring God glory. There's oftentimes when we have good intentions about helping other people experience the truth and the hope of Jesus and get them to commit their lives to Him. And you know, we love the idea about growing the kingdom, and we agree that it is something that we should do. And we make no arguments about it. There's no outright rebellion and no outright resistance, but there is a huge difference between good intentions and being intentional. There's a huge difference between good intentions and being intentional. One of them is wishful thinking, and the other one makes a difference. We are called to be intentional in living out God's mission, every one of us. And so how do we, as a church, right here, right now, how do we live our lives with that mission? How are we contributing to share the mission of the church, both lowercase c, that's the local church and the local churches, but also the uppercase, the capital C, universal church, the global church. How are we participating in that mission? All of it begins with an understanding that we are called to follow Christ. How did Christ help people put their faith in Him? Well, one of the things that we see over and over again is He met people where they were, and He led them into a life of following Him. There's a really well-known example of this in our main text for today, which is Luke 19. It's the classic story of a wee little man. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. And so he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times that amount." And Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." When we look at this story, you know, part of the context of it is Jericho was this really important city around the time of Jesus. And it was a center of commerce, and it served as a hub of all sorts of different trade routes from Jerusalem. And as Jesus enters into the city, the crowds are making their way out. They're following him to see him. And, you know, he had this huge celebrity status. And people thought that maybe they'd be able to witness something cool if they got there in time. Zacchaeus, he's got a lot of things going against him. We know this story where being short in a place where the average height is 5'1" makes you pretty small in stature. And people mocking other people for their size isn't just a modern issue. There's more than one reason why Luke includes this detail. So Zacchaeus was made fun of for that. He also was bullied and disliked because he was a wealthy tax collector. Basically, what the best way to understand that is he actually owned multiple tax collecting franchises. People literally paid him money for the right to steal money from other people and give it to him. It was one of the most corrupt roles of the time. He was a chief tax collector, not just your garden variety tax collector. And a tax collector had all this authority from Rome and was permitted to collect taxes in excess of what the government needed, and that's how they made their living. So they would squeeze all of this money out of the people, and some of it made its way to Rome, but the rest of it made it into their pockets. People do not like chief tax collectors. But like all the others, Zacchaeus had heard about Jesus, and he wanted to see him. Because he's short, he had to climb up in the sycamore tree, and this most amazing thing happened. Of all of the people there, Jesus took note of Zacchaeus, speaks to him, and he invites himself over for a meal. Everybody else is grumbling and complaining about Jesus' choice. Zacchaeus isn't a good guy. He's a sinner. He's full of selfish feelings, and he's corrupt, and nothing good to say about him. But Jesus met Zacchaeus where he was. And through that encounter, Zacchaeus' life was forever changed. And if you look at the story, the greatest part of the story is he was dramatically changed, wasn't he? Jesus guided him into the life of a passionate believer, and not only was Zacchaeus' mindset changed and his heart changed. And we know this because he took immediate action in serving the kingdom. The thing that he loved the most is money. He gives it away. and the things that he'd been doing. He said, I repent of my actions. Now, it's an oversimplification of the story, but man, I love this story. Because it's a perfect example of the truth that every person is somewhere on their journey with God. Even a Zacchaeus. If you had taken a poll of everybody that was there to witness it that day, and you asked them, who's the person, if you were to look out, who's the person you think most likely is going to follow Jesus and passionately follow him, how many think would have picked Zacchaeus if they could see him? It's the same thing with the people that live around you. Those that you know at work, and you know, the people that you grumble about, because, man, they're selfish. And they're crude. They're so lost, I don't know if they're even redeemable. But what we see with Jesus is that he saw past all of that. He saw that even Zacchaeus had God-given potential. And we are challenged to do the same, to meet people right where they are, to help them see and experience the hope and the power of Jesus. But we've got to be intentional. We can't simply have good intentions about sharing our faith with others. We have to be intentional. Now, we normally don't give a whole lot of thought to the sycamore tree in this story, do we? But my attention kind of was focused on it as I was preparing this message, and I want to take a little bit of a liberty with this text as we move into our so what part of the sermon, right? The what am I supposed to do portion. Because the sycamore tree gave Zacchaeus a chance to see Jesus, a chance to encounter Jesus. So how can you be a sycamore tree this week? How can you help somebody else see Jesus, be seen by Jesus, encounter Jesus? You may have noticed that out in the lobby, there's that sign, and it has these cards on it. And in a couple of weeks, on September 15th, we're going to be participating in what's called National Back to Church Sunday. And we've been praying about this event as an opportunity for people to meet them right where they are and encourage them to encounter Jesus. This Sunday, the 15th, gives you a special Sunday. It's a special opportunity to be a sycamore tree. To help a friend, a coworker, a classmate, a relative, a neighbor, to see Jesus. So there's a couple of ways to pray. All of this is part of this new campaign that we're wanting to get into. And it's our recognition that we know that we need to grow as a church. We need to grow the kingdom of God. It has nothing to do with this church, but I love this line that numbers are important because numbers are souls. And so a couple of ways that you can pray leading up. We've only got a couple of weeks. But pray for softened hearts in those that we invite. One of the things that M&M's is known for, right, is this idea that if you hold an M&M in your hand for a while, does it change on the outside? No, not really. I mean, tell me then, if it's, you know, 80% humidity outside, maybe a little. But the outside doesn't usually change much, but the inside will, right? The inner, if you hold one in your hand, the warmth from your body heat, The inner chocolate gets soft and thin, even though the hard shell on the outside doesn't show much evidence of that change. Sometimes people are M&Ms. On the outside, they don't show that they're softening to the idea of coming to church, of learning about Jesus, but there are all sorts of studies that show that 80 to 85% of people are willing to come to church if somebody invites them. That's a huge number. And so one of the ways that you can pray leading up to September 15th is to pray for God to soften the hearts of those who are on your heart. You can pray, God, make them soft. Soften their hearts to the idea of coming to church and hearing this invitation, not as judgment, because a lot of times people feel judged if you ask them to church, right? And it's so funny. I can't tell you how many times as a pastor you talk to somebody and they haven't been to church for a while and they, oh, I'm so, man, we've just been so busy. And they make all these excuses and I just want you to be here. There's no judgment. I just know what you're missing out on. I think this is a great place to be. Another way you can pray is pray for God to direct your thoughts, your steps, to give you awareness. Lord, open my eyes and help me see who needs me to be a sycamore tree in their life right now. So you can pray to ask God to soften hearts, but you can also pray, give me eyes to see. We don't have a lot of time. So like I said, we've got about 15 days, so don't delay. We've got more than that, but we've got about 3 weeks. So grab some, I just want to encourage you, grab some of these invitation cards. Put them in your car, put them in your purse or in your Bible. And you might even just take a handful of them, lay them out on your table at home. And when you're doing your devotions in the morning, ask the Lord to tell you, like, who's this card for? Who's this card for? Who's this card for? Ask God to put faces in your mind for each card and plan for them to come. Like, I think the greatest thing in the world is if on September 15th, we don't have enough chairs. That'd be the greatest thing in the world. So ask God to tell you who that card is for. Give them this card and tell them, hey, I hope to see you and I'll save you a seat. But I want you to understand that when you begin asking God to give you opportunities to help people find Jesus, God's going to come through. He will open your eyes. He will open doors. He will clear and level paths. So I'm praying with expectation that back to church Sunday, we are going to run out of seats. We all know people who've stopped coming to church. We've got COVID. We've got the stages of life that people are in. Sometimes people got upset by something somebody said. Sometimes it was me. But for whatever reason, there are people who quit going to church, and they're not going anywhere else. They haven't connected to another church body somewhere. People who are in other fellowships, they've landed at a different church, are we worried about them? No. Same team, different jerseys, right? But there are people who are missing out on the benefits of church. We need them because they're part of the body, right? And they need us more than any of us realize. We are incomplete without them, and they are incomplete without us. And we need them to be back in church. They're part of building the kingdom. And for some of you, God may have already placed somebody on your heart. You may have already been thinking about this. You know, He often does that, right? He's already planted seeds, and you're already like, man, I already know who it is. I already got my card. I put their name on it. But he gets that ball rolling early, and it can be somebody that you know who needs to know Jesus. They've never really understood who he is and why he came, and they don't understand God. But it could be somebody in your life that's living in brokenness and heartache and sin, even rebellion. And it can just be somebody who all they need is just for somebody to ask them to come to church. So I'm going to ask you to commit to praying for that person every day. Pray for them and pray for you. Pray for softness for them and boldness for you. But even more than that, and this is where it gets intentional, will you commit to inviting that person to church so they can experience the beauty and the community, so they can find a place where they belong, a place where they're accepted, a place where they are invited to encounter the life-transforming power of Jesus. I mean, in a way, it's just as simple as handing them the card, telling them, hey, we have this thing called Back to Church Sunday. I'd love for you to sit next to me next week. Who might be the Zacchaeus in your life, and how can you be that sycamore tree? Let's be intentional about doing our part to grow the kingdom of God. Let's be the church. Let's pray. Father God, it's hard for us sometimes because we don't know what you know. And we are trying. We are doing our very best to be faithful. We're not intentionally neglecting anything that you ask us to do. We're trying to be faithful. We try to bring you glory in all ways. We praise you sincerely because we know that you are worthy of it. And we know that there are lost people, Father. So forgive us, Father, for the time that we've wasted. I sincerely ask that. But we also know, Father, that you are the God of time and space. And there are things that you've orchestrated, knowing that we would waste some time and be slow to act in some ways. And so we pray, Father, that you would soften hearts, that you would give each one of us a clear vision of people, people who are hurting, people who want to know that they've been missed, people who want to be here, they're just embarrassed to come back because they've been gone for so long. But for whatever reasons, whatever excuses the enemy is planting into their brains, Father, we want to overcome that. We know that your Spirit can do wonders in people. And so help us to know who to reach out to, who belongs here. Help us to have the courage to step up and just do the simple thing and invite them. Soften hearts and give us courage. Make us bold and help us to build your kingdom. We ask this in the name of your Son. Amen.